Morning, everyone, and welcome to the Porto Seguro S.A. third quarter 2023 results conference call. Please be advised that the presentation is being simultaneously recorded and translated into English. The slides presented are available for download in our IR website. After the end of the presentation, we will start the Q&A session. We suggest that you send your name and company through the Q&A icon on the bottom of your screen. By dynamic default, your names will be announced for you to ask your question live. At this point, a prompt to activate your microphone will appear on the screen. Should you not want to open your microphone live, please write "no microphone" at the end of the question so that it will be read by the operator. Forward-looking statements made in this conference call regarding the Porto's business prospect are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company management, based on information available until this moment. Forward-looking statements are no guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions related to future events and may not occur. Overall economic conditions of the business sectors in which Porto Seguro operates and other operational factors may impact the company's future performance. I would like to ask Mr. Roberto Santos to begin the presentation. You may proceed, sir. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your attendance in Porto Seguro's third quarter 2023 results conference call. Our results were robust in the third quarter and in the first 9 months of the year. We more than doubled our net income of 621 million in the quarterly recurrent result and 1.6 billion in the first 9 months of the year. Recurring ROAE was 22.1% in the quarter and 19.3% in the 9 months to September. Revenues grew 13.3% in the quarter and 18.8% year to date, through the expansion of all business verticals, reaching 15.8 million consumers of our products and services. Through the insurance vertical, we highlight the increase of more than 200,000 vehicles in the auto-insured fleet. Auto claims improved for the fifth consecutive quarter. Life insurance had a growth of 12.2% in claims, and P&C with an expansion of 16.4%. In the Porto Saúde vertical, quarterly premiums and revenues continued with a strong growth rate observed in recent quarters, with an increase of 38.5%. We reached 510,000 lives, an increase of 23.5% over the last 12 months. Claims improved both regarding the second quarter of the year and vis-a-vis the same period last year. In our Porto Bank, revenues increased 12.7% with emphasis on the consortium, which maintained revenue and client growth of over 20% year to date. Non-performing loans improved by 0.1 percentage points compared to the second quarter and remained below the market average. The focus on risk management and improving the quality of the loan portfolio continued to be pillars in our sustainable growth. In our businesses, we achieved revenues of 1.4%, and I would like to highlight the increase of cross-sell that went from 1.9 businesses per client to 1.62 at present. We also paid back to the society 12 billion reais year to date. Finally, I would like to also highlight some important recognitions. We were recognized as the most recommended brand by Brazilians through the Folha Top of Mind Award. And for the second consecutive year, we were elected as one of the 10 best companies to work by Great Place to Work in the largest company categories with more than 10,000 employees. This achievement reinforces our mission of continuing to make Porto a place where people are proud to work and is the result of our daily efforts to be increasingly a safe haven for people and their dreams. After all, every care is Porto. I would like to thank all of you, and I ask Celso Damadi, our CFO, to speak about the evolution of our revenues and profitability. Thank you, Roberto. A good day to all of you. I highlight our growth of 13% in the quarter, reaching 8.3 billion reais in all of the business verticals. With Porto Seguro growing 8.6%, Porto Saúde 38.5%, Porto Bank 13%, and other businesses growing practically 34%. Of course, this was of great help in the results we show you in the next page. Our net revenues reached 621 million reais with 22% return on investment. This includes the adjustments that we have detailed for our inventories, for the car buy subscription of 54 million, and IR deferred based on future profitability, a lower expectation for profitability with a write-off of investment assets that we had to do in the digital account. We changed our strategy, and Marcos will be explaining this during the bank explanation. During the year, we reached 1,624 of ROI with a 20% margin. Now, this result for the quarter and for the year shows us that 75% of the result this year comes from the operational result, 25% for financial results, 47% of results were financial, and the rest was different. So the financial results in this quarter represent 327 million, and the operating result in all of our business lines has improved considerably, especially in auto and health and other business lines that we will explore shortly. Our profitability over the historical CDI goes to 171% CDI, even with a high CDI during this year. Therefore, I believe that the results for the quarter and the 9 months of the year are quite interesting for the year. And until the fourth quarter, we hope to maintain this type of profitability. I give the floor to Rivaldo Leite now. Good morning, everybody. We continue at a very good pace in terms of growth of premiums and results as well, with a total growth of insurance of 8.6% for insurers, 5.6 billion in premiums, and with a very good claim of 47% for the quarter, a drop of 12.4% in auto and 4.7% in P&C and 2.1% in life. So the reduction of claims is doing very well in all of our segments. That is why we have achieved a very good result. It doesn't arise only from auto, but from other segments. We had a growth of 7.3% in premiums in auto. In P&C, the growth was strong, 16.4%, and in life, 12.2%. We reached a ROI of 46.6% during the period, benefited mainly by the enhancement in claims during the period. We had 565 million net revenue with 46.6% of ROI. And we remind you that the second quarter was already a very positive and relevant quarter as well. Our expenses continue to drop somewhat in terms of commercialization, other expenses, and claims, as I already mentioned, were much, much better. The combined ratio reached 84%. This is the best. Well, I don't remember in the past if we had such a good combined ratio. So that is it. Thank you very much. Oh, very important news is the growth of our fleet. More than 209,000 added to our fleet with a very positive result. We have steady growth vis-à-vis the market, a growth of premiums in double digits of 13.8%, an increase of 209,000 vehicles, and a substantial improvement in claims. Part of this improvement comes from our extremely good pricing in the last few months, and also due to the drop in the VP table of 0.5% per month, the value of the new vehicles had a slight increase, but the value of the used vehicles, and we have a large fleet of used vehicles, has been dropping month after month. All of this has aided and abetted our results. Our claims for the third quarter reach 51.3%. That is all. I would now like to give the floor to Samir. Thank you, Rivaldo. A good day to all of you. This was a quarter of celebration in the healthcare vertical with some important landmarks. We went beyond the mark of 500,000 lives. We ended up with 510,000 lives and 700,000 lives in the dental part, ending with 740 some thousand lives in the dental part for the quarter. Therefore, we have reached 1.2 billion in revenues, and this will take the vertical to an annual recurrent level of almost 5 billion a year with net profit of 38 million reais. I highlight the process of repricing that we have been discussing for several quarters for a year and a half. We increased 10% in life, 15% in premiums, and 23% in the last year, and 42% in premiums. So we're showing here, we're walking the talk and the consistency of execution we have here. To speak about claims, we have had a typical quarter with a drop in claims vis-a-vis the second quarter. And this results from the different components that we mentioned through time. New products, acceptance, the team of Porto, anti-fraud activities, that is to say, several factors we have discussed, a drop of 2.3% when we look health and dental services, and only in health, 34.2% to 81.5% in the third quarter, a counter seasonal movement that has been quite positive in the third quarter vis-a-vis the second quarter, and in the 22, it was 90.3. We also bring light to help us in our debate throughout the year. We have questions quarter on quarter, and we have brought you a broader view, trying to compare the pre-pandemic period with the post-pandemic period. When we look at this, we can see that Porto Saúde left the pandemic quite strengthened compared to other players in the market. We're resuming to claim levels pre-market, pre-pandemic, with a asset-light strategy, as you can see. Because of all of this, we achieved Net profit of 38 million reais approximately in the third quarter, a record for recurring net profit coming from 8 million negative last year, a delta of 45 million. Year to date, we have achieved a result similar to the entire last year, even with the exit of Clínica, a very positive quarter with room for the bank that will be presented by Loução. Good morning, Sami. Good. Thank you, Loução. At the bank, we're always doing very well after the activities implemented in 2022. We have had a positive impact of risk management actions, and our relevance has allowed us to grow with profitability, even in a moment of high default in products, credit products. Once again, a ROI of greater than 30% and a very high revenue. To speak about sales expansion, as planned, we had a strong growth in products compared to 2022, with a special highlight for consortium in credit in the comparison between quarters, especially with a base impacted by a non-recurrent campaign of cards that was carried out in September, October of 2022. It brought in clients that were more distant from our profile with a higher risk. As we show you here in our sales mix, we see a significant improvement in the new harvests of credit cards. And finally, I will offer you this vision of risk that began in the last quarter. The quality indicators capture the effect of the activities carried out in the granting and management of the portfolio, and our indicator is 90 below the market average regarding NPL greater than  90 days. We continue to work with negotiation of our clients, reaching 3% of our base. Basically, this is my presentation. We will now continue on with our investment portfolio. I would like to highlight a revenue of 295 million, 79% of the CDI. When we exclude some assets of ARN, this result goes to 282 million, 70% of the CDI. The quarter was impacted by the IPCA. We had 0.60% in the quarter. It was the lowest in the year up to present, and most of our detachment with the CDI is due to this index. I would also like to highlight regarding the second quarter, there are no significant changes in our own portfolio. And in terms of credit, we closed during the quarter with a positive result, which is offsetting our variable income position that had a drop in this last quarter. Therefore, this part of IRB is the one that has lowered our results in CDI in the third quarter. I will now give the floor to Lene to speak about environmental, social, and governance factors. Good morning, everybody. And I would like to redeem an important topic that Porto has a tradition of more than 25 years working in environment. In terms of people, Roberto mentioned that this is the second consecutive year in which Porto Seguro is among the 10 largest companies for a Great Place to Work. Now, this recognition, of course, reinforces that we truly are a good place to work. And I highlight a very interesting project that is sustainable disposition in equity. It's the disposition of residues generated by our policyholders based on this project. Since November of 2022, we have already disposed of more than 4.5 tons of these electronic residues, transforming this information in environmental impact. We have preserved 21,000 liters of water, and we have stopped issuing 6 tons of carbon. It's also worth highlighting the part of education and learning. We have a journey of knowledge among our employees, and we have more than 1,700 people participating in this to disseminate concepts. These are our main informations that we would now like to go on to the question and answer session. Thank you. We will now go on to the question and answer session. We remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please send them through the Q&A icon on your screen. Should you not wish to pose the question live, you can write it in and the question will be read by the operator. Please hold while we poll for questions. Good morning. Our first question comes from Daniel Vaz from Safra Bank. Daniel, you may proceed.
Good morning, Alexandro. Good morning, everybody else. Congratulations for your results. We have two questions at our side. A question to Nivaldo. I would like to compare what happened with insurance vis-à-vis the past quarter. Those who understand pricing in Porto and elsewhere, we have seen a pursuit that is somewhat more combative. I don't know if this is the case or if you have renewed products and changed your pricing at Azul. And second question, based on the partnership with Itaú, if you're missing some product on the platform in terms of insurance, and what are you expecting going forward, so that we can work with a rollout of this? Thank you.
Daniel, good morning, and thank you for your questions. Regarding the growth of our fleet, we already had a moderate expectation. We had already mentioned that we're creating products that are more geared to the C and D bracket, and Azul fits in very well with those products. Part of the growth in the fleet is due to that, but Porto Seguro itself has had good growth as well. It's the sum of both factors. A larger part comes from that segment. Now, regarding Itaú Bank, we have had a very good year, perhaps historically the best year in the partnership with Itaú. We're selling very well, especially residential insurance, and their platform is also offering more accessible products. We carried out a broad residential campaign with very positive results, and the offer of the Azul product by subscription that is for the C and D bracket had a very good fit. So this is the sum of things that has aided and abetted the growth of the insurance vertical as a whole. Thank you very much, and congratulations for your results. The next question comes from Guilherme Grespan from JP Morgan. You may proceed.
Good morning, Alexandro and team. Thank you for the presentation and for taking our questions. Two more strategic questions. I believe you're in a budgeting process, and this is when we hold broader discussions on strategic planning. This year, we have a more curious discussion that you must be having with the participation of executives that are working with insurance, and you should also have contributions of Paulo, who recently joined the team, and based on feedback, he seems to be focused on strategy, new products, and innovation.
Looking forward to 2024 as part of the strategy decisions, which are the main opportunities that you foresee, and what is it that the market should pay closer attention to? My second question, a follow-up on auto, which is your expectation of growth of premiums the coming year? There are moving parts going in opposite directions. The premium, does this still benefit the increase of premiums for 2024? But there's also the drop in used cars on the other hand. If you could refer to these points and which will be the top line evolution for the auto part for 2024. Thank you. Well, good morning, Crispin. Everything well? This is Roberto. Referring to our budgeting and strategy process, in fact, we recently concluded our strategic planning and the budget for the coming 3 years. Evidently, I will be leaving at the end of the year, but I did participate actively. I am going to the board, but we counted with the active participation of Paulo Kakinoff during the process. I would like to highlight that there is no radical change in terms of innovation or different segments for the company. Porto, some years ago, began a process of putting the client at the center of its decisions. So we have an intense journey of modifying our processes, adjusting them, and this has led to two situations. One, with higher operational efficiency, and this will continue to happen going forward. It's part of the budget. And on the other hand, a better quality of whatever we are delivering to the consumer. All of this is a journey that began some years ago, and I draw your attention to some Net Promoter Score indicators that we recorded this quarter, and we're going to experiment to see what will happen in coming years. Auto insurance closed with 77 points of NPS and 78 for residential insurance, and in credit card, 72 of NPS. We know that this will continue going forward, and Kaki will have to continue leading the team in this direction. So our agenda for coming years is a growth of revenue in all business verticals and consistent results in coming years. This is our agenda going forward, and Kaki will be responsible for continuing this intense growth process, serving our clients better. We do want to become a safe haven for clients and their dreams. Guilherme, good morning. This is Rivaldo. Considering automobiles in 2024, we expect a growth of approximately 10%. It has been a very good year, and we're continuing on with this work that we have created. Therefore, we expect a very positive year in line with the year 2023. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question is from Antonio Huet from Bank of America. Good morning, Antonio. Good morning, everybody. Congratulations for your results. Thank you for taking our questions. We have two. The first refers to the competitive environment. If you could speak about competition in auto and health, which will be the price and the rationale in both fronts. The second question refers to the tax reform. If you can already anticipate some information in terms of which will be the impact. Nothing is very certain, but if you can anticipate information, we would be very grateful. Thank you. Well, the competition is significant. We have perceived higher competitiveness, but we've been working to maintain our pricing models early on to sort of push the market and to focus on results. But it is true that competition has increased significantly. To speak about the health vertical, the market has shown significant discipline in terms of pricing. We began this process ahead of the other large players. In the fourth quarter of 2022 and first quarter of 2023, we had more modest growth. And we think that this is positive. We're operating at a very adequate claims level, and this competitive discipline plays in our favor. Now, regarding your question about the tax reform, we're following up on that very closely. Now, the impacts on insurance will not be very relevant. You did mention that it still has to go through the entire Congress. Now, what has been passed up to present means we will have minor impacts. We did obtain some benefits for the insurance sector. Now, the tax for the insurance sector will be similar to the IOF. It will remove that tax load from the income statement of insurance companies. We deem this will be a benefit. Everybody will have to incorporate a part of this, but it will not be relevant. And this will depend on which are the details with which it is approved. As it stands today, we will not have relevant impacts on price for the consumer in the insurance vertical. The National Confederation of Insurers has been very active with the legislative body to minimize the impact, and we were able to be successful. The opinion of the rapporteur dealt with the insurance market as a separate line item, as Celso has just mentioned. Market will not suffer any impact. The forecast is that the impact will end up being irrelevant. It's very good. And a follow-up in terms of the tax reform, if you could share a figure on your working capital and shareholders' capital. I think it's too early to speak about that. What is going through Congress at present is not the end of shareholders' equity so far. It is a discussion of a new way of calculating shareholders' equity. It's too early to speak about the impact, and I think it's best to wait more. The conversation now is no longer the extension of shareholders' equity, but instead what it will be transformed into. So we will have to wait some more time to be able to speak about this. And of course, this impact will be for the sector as a whole. The entire sector has a regulatory impact and has high equity. If this happens, everybody will have to pay the price. We understand that this discussion still has some more time before it advances, and perhaps there will be a change in the calculation methodology. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Antonio. The next question is Caio Prato from UBS. Good morning, Caio.
Good morning, Alex. Good morning, Roberto, and all executives at Porto. Two questions at our end, if you allow me. The first, going back to 2024, the sector is getting to a level of strong profit if we see what you have delivered year to date. Looking forward,
Besides the comparison base being high, there are other challenges that will play against you. This year was benefited by the price adjustment that you carried out. We don't necessarily see this repeating itself in 2024, and the financial results might be under pressure because of the changes in the macro scenario. Which is your vision for 2024? Do you agree with these assumptions? And if, despite this, you will have a profit expansion the coming year, and which would be the driver for this? The second question, a quick question about the alteration in your write-off policy that you mentioned for credit cards in Porto Bank. What has changed in the policy? Why did you decide on the change? And which are the impacts in your bank indices? And to understand the company mindset in terms of growth of credit cards going forward. Thank you.
Caio, this is Celso. Caio, you know that we don't offer guidance for 2024 results, but I will answer your question without mentioning the guidance. In terms of financial results, you are right. We expect to have nominal financial results, even with a drop of Selic, very similar to the results of this year. We will offer the drop in Selic with a very good cash generation. We will have a lower Selic, but a cash generation for this year and the coming year that will offset most of the drop of the average interest rates. We understand that the drop in the nominal financial revenues should remain stable in 2024 regarding claim or profitability. Of course, we're coming out of a very high level in 2023. But on the other hand, in 2024, we won't have adjustments that we're not calling as non-recurrent because they're part of the game, they're operational. 90 million of adjustments that we did at present value in cars by subscription. Because of our inventory, we won't have this in 2024. This adjustment value was done now. We left from a level of 14,000 vehicles. We'll end up with 6,000 vehicles. Adjustments in 2024 will be immaterial compared to 2023, and this will help us in terms of results. We also have the carryover of premiums, a growth in 2024, and we have been gaining productivity and administrative expenses. We believe we will achieve a good level of profitability and that we will maintain our profitability in coming years. In credit, we have had an enhancement. Our credit harvests have an improved health with a robust growth. So the diversity of businesses at Porto will enable us to maintain our levels of profitability in coming years. Regarding the write-off that you asked about, every year we review all of our models. This year, we identified an opportunity considering the low recovery above 560 days. It doesn't impact our results because of our rate of provisioning with that age of accounts. Basically, that was it. An annual review of the model, and we saw the need to work with this write-off with immaterial impact.
Thank you very much. Now, in terms of your mindset for origination going forward, origination of bank products, credit products, yes. Well, in credit, we're highly focused. We have several opportunities, and this is our main focus. Of course, without putting aside other segments within the risk profile that we have altered in the last few months. We're working with an audience that is more remote, but they're insurable. We also know them, and the new harvests are very similar to the rates we already have in-house. This is our strategy when the market is more favorable to expand with clients that presently are more remote. And this is a focus for the clients that we already have gained.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Caio. Our next question is Karina Martins from Citi. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. I would like to go more in depth in terms of competition and price. We saw in the market that the price of auto insurance dropped 10% at the beginning of the year. Which is your vision regarding that figure, if it makes sense, if it's what you see in the market? And presuming that you spoke of a premium growth of 10% for 2024, how does this converse with a drop in prices? Will this come through an increase in fleet? How do you think you will deliver this 10% the coming year in a year with greater pressure? Thank you.
Karina, simply to reconfirm what we said formerly, this is a market growth that we have been observing. This is where the market is heading to, in that range of 10%. Now, regarding the drop of 10% in auto insurance price, that's not the case, perhaps in one line or another of vehicles that occurred, but in general, that is not something that we observe. We now see a market that will be more cohesive. Why? Because we have large players in the market, and any wrong price will create losses. Therefore, we see a market that is more connected with correct pricing. One or another player could be working differently, but in general, that's something that we observed. Our expectation for 2024, we're launching several products. We also have a very strong regional growth plan in some regions where we still do not have market leadership, and that is why our figures converse very well when we read the scenario as a whole, looking for growth in large regions where we do not have strong penetration.
That's excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We would like to remind you once again, should you wish to pose a question, write in your name and company in the QA icon. If you don't want to read your question out, write without microphone at the end of the question. Please wait while we poll for more questions. We have just received a question from Thiago from BTG. Good morning, Thiago.
Good morning, everybody. Congratulations for your results. We have a single question to conclude, referring to financial results. We understood in your message
that we cannot link profitability to the CDI because of their real interest rates. But every quarter, there's something that has to be explained. My question regarding that is the following: even though it is not fully indexed to CDI, is there some sort of a target? And can you remove some of that volatility in quarter releases to give us more comfort when we project that specific line item? Thank you.
Thiago, this is Isaac speaking. Thank you for the question. Regarding our year results, it is mainly explained by the real interest rate. We have a portfolio that has other assets. It's not only real interest rates. We have variable income, the sale of assets, and the great villain has been the interest rate. Now, regarding the volatility, our portfolio is on a curve exactly to remove the volatility. We're in a year where the level of IPCA should be 460 or below that, with an average CDI of 13. This already highlights how far away we are from the CDI level. And finally, I would like to mention that in the last quarters, we have seen that we have a focus on our capital. We want to preserve our capital against inflation in a medium and long-term horizon. Our concern is to have profitability with a real interest rate, to have a healthy control of our resources. In 2021, we had negative interest rates. In the last 2 years, we have been suffering with the true interest rate, implicit with the fact that CDI rate is much higher than that of our assets in our portfolio. It's very important. Our portfolio has a benchmark, and that benchmark, of course, has that medium-term concern with the true interest rate. In the last 2 years, of course, we ended up being impacted, and it's important to mention that we have an internal benchmark coming from the board with a certain range, and we work with this based on each different location. Basically, this is what happens.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
The question and answer session ends here. I will now return the floor to Mr. Roberto Santos for the company's closing remarks. You may proceed, sir.
Thank you very much for attending our results conference call, for your questions, your contribution, and interest in Porto Seguro. I would like to report here, as is of everybody's knowledge, I will no longer be the CEO of the company at the end of the year. This is my last call with you. I would like to thank you for the provocations and contributions I have received throughout my management. They were very important for me. I also hope that participation, devotion, and everything else will be transferred to Kaki. Should you have any additional doubts, please contact our IR team that has now been reinforced with the arrival of Don, who is participating in the call. And all the contact information is available at ri.portoseguro.com.br. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you. The results
conference call for the third quarter 2023 ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your attendance. Have an excellent afternoon.